Now I ask that you stand as you're able for today's reading of Scripture in honor of God's Word. Today's reading is from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Want to give just a quick update on Dwayne, at least as of supper time yesterday. I had contact with him. I put out the email, I said there have been small steps in the right direction. And when I contacted him about supper time yesterday, his blood pressure was 112 over 79. It had been very high before that. So that is huge. And very good news. So, you know, he's moving in the right direction, and hopefully those clots will dissolve and pass without any issue. So I just wanted a little update there that I was aware of before we get started today. There's a set of papers up here. It's the wrong set. Grace to you, shalom from God our Father, from Jesus our Messiah, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. We continue through Ephesians today. We're picking it up at verse 14, where Paul is showing a posture of humility. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul doing? Anybody? What is he doing when he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father? What's happening in his life at that moment? What do you think? What do you do when you bow your knees? Pray. Now, the word prayer isn't in here, but I think that's what Paul is doing. And he's doing it in a posture of humility. Now, for you to have God listen to you, do you have to be on your knees? No. You could be standing on your head. You'd be driving your car. You'd be walking along. You can be walking around your neighborhood, praying for families in your neighborhood. Walking around this neighborhood, praying for families in this neighborhood. It can happen. You can be flat on your face. Now, as I've gotten older, I've found it's harder to get on my knees. It's more painful. I got to have some kind of padding. When I've prayed laying down on my face, which I've done sometimes, it's really hard to get off the floor. Amen, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. But even if we can't do those things physically, we need to do them spiritually. Or, you know, that attitude of humility in our hearts. And Jesus helps us understand what this attitude of humility is when he was talking with, sharing a parable about a tax collector and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee was, you know, all proud that he did all these things. Oh, God, look at me. I'm such a great guy. And then the tax collector comes along, and this is what he says in Luke 18. Verse 13, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the attitude. Whatever your physical posture is, The attitude is, God, I'm coming into your presence. I need you. I don't deserve to be in your presence, but I need to be in your presence. So that's what Paul is doing here in this verse. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. You know, I learn by example. I don't know about you, but that's one of the best ways for me to learn a lesson. And when I was 18, 19 years old, just early in college in Denver, Corrie Ten Boom came and spoke at a church in Denver. And I was able to go and listen to her. And it was a huge church. And as she took the stage, people stood and applauded. They gave her a standing ovation. And as she walked on the stage and this thunderous applause was going on, she went like this. She was saying, don't applaud for me, applaud for God. And I thought, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? When we get praised for what we do that God is involved in, God gets the glory. Not us. God be merciful to me, a sinner, like the tax collector here, like Corrie Ten Boom, who's going around the world talking about the Holocaust and how she was able to show love to her enemies. Everything we accomplish in this life is a gift from God. I saw a meme. Did any of you old enough to remember Tim Tebow when he played for the Denver Broncos? Yep. He's quarterback for the Denver Broncos. What was Tim Tebow known for? And I'm gonna put this back up. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. When he would make a touchdown or something like that, he'd get on his knee and he'd point up to the sky like this. What happens today when football players get on their knees? It's a protest. It's a totally different thing. For us as Christians, when we're humble and we point to Jesus, we point the way to Jesus because we don't want the focus on us. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. It's like saying, it was God who did this through me. Tim Tebow was giving God the credit for what he did through him, because God gave him those abilities, that athletic ability to do those kind of things. I read Butch's obituary I read it online. I was going to say in the paper. I don't get the paper, but he was a very athletic guy, wasn't he? Seemed like it. Very gifted athletically. Must be in the Kuntz genes or the Barnes genes. The Barnes genes. I correct, stand corrected. But that's the kind of thing. God gives some of us the ability to sing, be a musician. And we give him the praise for working in us and through us. Let's go on to verse 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who all's included in this family? It's a big family. You know, it's not just Lutherans. Did you know that? Hey, growing up, I didn't know that. I heard sermons dissing that group and that group and that group. And man, we got it. That's crazy. Anybody who comes to surrender their heart and life to Jesus Christ is in that family. But what about the hosts of heaven? Are they in that family? You're darn right they are. What about Old Testament saints? Think of Moses, Noah, the prophets like Jonah or others. Are they in that family? They are. But didn't Jesus die and die for us? And how could it be that people who came before Jesus could be saved by Jesus? It's kind of a strange thing to think about. At least that's where my strange mind went as I'm thinking about this. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins when he died on that cross a couple thousand years ago? Yeah, I do too. How about two generations yet who haven't been born yet if Jesus doesn't return before that. Yeah. We weren't even born and he died for us. Couldn't it be possible that it goes the other way too? Like we have BC and AD, you know, the timeline, the Christian timeline, before Christ and the year of our Lord. AD doesn't stand for after death, just in case you think that. AD stands for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, okay? What about all the BC people? Look, there's a great verse. You know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he love? The world. Now, were there people in the world before Jesus came and lived and died? Lots of them. For a long time. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know how that works for people who died before he came, but I believe God makes a way for that to happen. His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient. God loved the world. That's inclusive, not exclusive. I don't have the answers for that. Maybe that's one reason why eternity is so long. I'll get to, you know, say, God, I got one more question. I don't know. So, let me be clear. God's family that we looked at there in verse 15 of Ephesians 3 is immense. It's huge. It's beyond measure. Remember when John was in heaven and he said there was 10,000 times 10,000? That's a big number. Don't ask me to figure out what that number is. Linda Kuntz isn't here to give us the answer today. But it's a big number. And that doesn't include everybody. And so we're a part of this big, big family. Let's go on to verse 16. That he would grant you according the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might or power, it's the same word, through his spirit in the inner man. Do you need to be strengthened? I need it more. The older I get, the more I need it. I don't know what it is, but we just naturally seem to change at some point. You know, it's harder to get up and down. It's like I said, get off the floor. It's not as easy as it used to be. That's why God creates babies when they're small and they fall. They're close to the ground. They don't get hurt. And they're flexible. Those little limbs can go all over the place. Mine don't work that way. You try to do some of those things with my limbs, you're taking me to Meritus. So, we need to be strengthened. Where does that strengthening come from? His spirit. It comes from his spirit. Do you know you don't have the power to live the Christian life? I don't either. The greatest Christians who've ever lived don't have the power to live the Christian life. Take away the Holy Spirit and we're sunk. We can't live. We can't do. We can't accomplish without his spirit. So, do you have to know some secret kind of prayer? Some special posture of prayer? Some kind of mojo to get his spirit in you and working? Is it a hard thing? Well, let me take you to Luke 11. Jesus said this, if a son asks for bread from his father among you, will he give him a stone? Of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Of course not. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? That'd be crazy. Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit. How? To those who ask him. There it is. Ask for it. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in you, to be with you, to lead you and guide you. just like a child, Jesus says, would ask his father for a piece of bread or a fish or an egg. Are those big asks for kids? I saw this weirdest story this week. I think it was fairly recent. The cops pulled over on the interstate, and I don't know where this was. This guy was driving slow on the interstate. They thought they had a drunk driver because he was driving so slow and erratic. And guess who was behind the wheel? It wasn't Andy. It was a five-year-old. A five-year-old. What was he doing? He wanted to buy a Lamborghini. And his mom said no. So he took all the money that he had, $3, got in his mom's car, and drove away. He was going to go buy a Lamborghini. Now that's an ask that you're not going to get. But when you ask for bread or fish or an egg, your parents going to get that for you. Not a Lamborghini. All we have to do to get the Holy Spirit is to ask. Ask. It's as simple and as clear as that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's something we need to do over and over again. Now, if you had been at my house yesterday and you needed a glass of water, and I said, sure, give you a glass of water. And since yesterday until right now, would you have needed more water? Absolutely. If you didn't, you might be dehydrated. Okay? Now, Holy Spirit is the same way. I don't know why it works this way. But we need to ask over and over and over again. Are you facing a tough decision, a challenging relationship, whatever in your life? Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you the power, to give you the wisdom, to give you the ability to walk through whatever you're dealing with. Chuck Missler pointed this out to me as I was going through this stuff today. I'm going to back up to verses 14 through 16. And I've highlighted some words here because I want you to see what he showed me and what I saw, and I didn't see it right away. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family and of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man. So we're praying to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. How often do you address anything but God or Jesus? How often do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he is. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. Is the Father God? Yes, he is. That's what we call the Trinity. Okay? And so let's pray to the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Paul gives us this just in his natural way that he prays, the way the prayer comes out from him and is recorded here. What's the purpose of praying like this? So why do we ask for these things? Why do we humble ourselves? Why do we ask that we would be given strength according to the riches of his glory? Verse 17, and here's a kind of a fancy thing that I found for verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Why? That you, being rooted and grounded in love, would do the actions that you need to do. Okay? Being rooted and grounded in love. What kind of love is that? Is that friendship love? Is that husband-wife love? What do you think? It's agape. It's God's unconditional love. I don't know about you, but I need God's unconditional love. Have you ever found people that you come across in life that are hard to love? You don't even like them sometimes. Sometimes they might not like you either. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But Let's leave it on our side. Find somebody that's hard to love. What do you need to do? You need to ask for His Spirit, His might, His power to give you that unconditional love, that our actions are rooted and grounded in that unconditional love that we show to others, that we forgive what others say shouldn't be forgiven. Do we deserve to be forgiven? We don't. Can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God forgives us. God loves us. God so loved the world that He gave, that He forgave. And so us, we ask for that Spirit, that we are rooted and grounded in love. And ask for it. God, give me the wisdom to show unconditional love to this person. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it. Give me the wisdom and the ability to do that. Jesus living in our hearts through the power of the Spirit enables us to do that. The purpose of all of this happening in our lives is that we can better understand this. And this is another fancy way of showing what Scripture is in Ephesians 3:18 and 19. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I had to read that off my iPad here. I don't know if you can read it. I didn't realize it was that hard to read the small print on this. I can't read it. That's another thing that happens as you age, right? I'm 30 years old. I never wore glasses. Suddenly I needed to wear them, and now it's getting worse. But look at this. That you may know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of Christ. What's left out? Nothing. Yeah, this covers it all. It seems to me that's what this verse is saying. You're going to know the immense love, the majesty, the beyond understanding, the how huge it is. And then he goes on in verses 20 and 21. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to his power that works within us. God is the one who's doing this. We just talked about how big it is. It's wide, it's breadth, it's height, it's depth, that you'll know that. And then it comes to verse 20, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. What does the word exceedingly mean? Isn't it beyond all that exists? So it goes beyond the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. It exceeds that. And how does it exceed it? Abundantly. And that word triggered this in my mind. Jesus' job description. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan's job description. Both of these guys' job description are in one verse. Satan's in the first part of verse 10. The second part is Jesus' job description. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, does that mean you're going to be super successful and wealthy and famous? No. Life is the gift. Not fame, not wealth, not fortune. What life? That you may have life more abundantly. Let's look at verse 20 again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Above all that we can ask or think? How much can you ask? How much can you think? One of the translations, instead of think, says imagine. How much can you imagine? I got a big imagination. I can come up with tons of things that I can ask or imagine. But how do we do this? How do we ask or think about these things? What's the rest of the verse say? According to what? The power that works within us. So we say, according to your will, God, you live in me. When I surrender my life to Jesus, when you surrender your life to Jesus, when we turn from our sins, he fills us with him, his Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to live within us. And according to that power which works in us, we're able to ask or think. It's God's will. It's what he desires, what he wants for you. And does he want things for you that you've never thought of? That you've never imagined? He does. And so we go to him, if not physically on our knees, humbly. We ask him. We pray to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, that he would fill us with his Spirit, that he would work within us and enable us to give that unconditional love according to his power that works within us. And he'll blow your mind. He'll show you things you could never have expected. Did we ever expect, when we started looking, well, you started looking before I was ever here, looking for a place. Do you think we'd ever have imagined that we would end up here in the situation that we're in? I didn't. You know, one of the very first places I went, just on my own, when we first got here, you remember the old Food Lion store on Eastern Boulevard? Now it's a bunch of medical offices. I went in there and looked at a place that was for rent. $7,000 a month. I said, no wonder the medical people are in here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I thought, how is this ever going to happen? How are we ever going to find anywhere that we can afford? And God said, just let me show you. It's going to take some time. But when he opened the doors to this place, we knew. We knew this was it. And God led us and guided us beyond what we could think or imagine. And so, when we live life like this, in that humbleness, in that humility, this is how we react to God. And I want to close with this verse, but I want us to read it out loud together. It's the last verse. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That seals the deal. That's the whole reason we do this, for his glory. He does it through us. Amen. Now may the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We have an awesome pastor. Amen.
Amen.
And won't you stand as you're able and we'll